The following program was transcribed from its earlier network release.
American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations present Mr. President, starring Edward Arnold. Mr. President, at home in the White House, the elected leader of our country, our fellow citizen and neighbor. These are little known stories of the men who've lived in the White House. Dramatic, exciting events in their lives that you and I so rarely hear. The true human stories of Mr. President. Let's visit Mr. President in the White House. It's evening. Only one window shows the light, a study on the ground floor. We find ourselves at the front door.
Come right in, please. The president's expecting you. Through that door, please.
I'll go right in. Some business for you, Mr. President.
Hello. Sit down, won't you? Why, of course it's all right. You know, before I moved in here, I had the idea that the president is somehow more than a human being. But believe me, he isn't. I get aches and pains just the way you do. All kinds of things happen at the White House here, and things people never hear about. Let me tell you a true story that's hardly known to all. Now, which president was it when it actually happened? I'll tell you later on. But meanwhile, see if you can guess. It started the evening I came back to the White House after taking a long, brisk walk.
Mr. President.
Hello, Captain Drew.
Are you all right, Mr. President?
Well, don't I look all right?
Yes, sir, only where are McGrath and Cooper?
Ah, Captain, they're fine young fellows. They're the most pleasant bodyguards you ever assigned to me.
Pleasant be... They're not supposed to let you out of their sight.
I assure you, they didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, not again, Mr. President.
You'd have appreciated my strategy, Captain. I walked into the swamp, the one by the river. They did exactly what I expected. They ran around to the other side to pick me up again, but I turned right around and came out where I went in. You know, Hannibal did that once to the Romans. I hate being followed, Captain.
But we've got to guard you, sir. Yesterday, a bomb came in the mail. This morning, more of those threatening letters. Oh, McGrath and Cooper are going to catch it from me.
Don't be hard on them.
And I'm going to catch it from Miss Sarah.
Oh. Well, I won't tell her if you won't.
I can't fool Miss Sarah, sir. And neither can you.
You know, I was enjoying myself thoroughly until you said that, Captain.
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Well, however, it was fun while it lasted. Can't you just see poor McGrath and Cooper running around and around that swamp? And waiting for me to come out? Good night, Captain.
Good night, Mr. President.
Oh, Captain.
Yes, sir?
You won't say anything to Miss Sarah?
I'll do my best, Mr. President.
Good night, Captain.
Your breakfast, Mr. President.
Oh, come in, Ralph. You can push those papers off the table.
They're all about the coal strikes, sir.
I know them by heart, and much good it does me. Push them aside.
Yes, sir. The senator's on his way upstairs, sir.
Oh, he's back from New York?
Evidently. Here he is, sir.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Oh, good morning.
May I join you for breakfast?
Well, isn't this our regular day, John? Sit down.
Yeah, thanks.
A fried ham this morning, gentlemen.
Well, I'm not very hungry.
I love fried ham, Ralph.
With eggs on top like the sun coming up.
No, I'm not hungry, really.
Oh, but I am, Ralph.
On marmalade and coffee, sir.
You'll pardon me if I begin, Mr. President.
Well, I suppose I ought to eat something.
Yes, sir.
Ralph.
Sir?
My toast. Where's the butter?
Your diet, Mr. President.
Now, where did Miss Sarah get that idea?
So you on a diet, too? My wife made me adopt hers.
My wife, too.
This is very humbling experience, Ralph.
Humbling, sir?
I'm president of the United States. I'm responsible for millions and millions of people, but I can't get butter on my toast.
It just goes to show you, sir, there's no such thing as unlimited power.
Yeah, you're right. Newton learned about gravity from an apple. We learn about power from toast.
And sometimes the most baffling problems yield to the most simple solutions, Senator.
Mr. President, I'm glad to find you in this mood.
What?
I chatted with Captain Drew on my way in.
Oh, I think I know what's coming.
Did he tell you of all the angry letters last week?
The usual thing, John.
But so many more from the coal states blaming you for the strike going on. From the farm states because prices have crashed. Many of those letters threaten your life, Mr. President.
Well, what good would it do killing me?
And there was a bomb in the mail the other afternoon.
John, I'm not responsible for every crazy fool.
You are responsible for your own safety.
It's not as serious as all that.
Don't you realize what would happen to the country if you... No, one shot would be enough. In this crisis, an assassination would bring chaos, even anarchy. The future of this nation is at stake.
I know.
Coal is up to $20 a ton. School to having to close, hunger, illness. But it's not only the miners. There's not a single person untouched by this tragedy. This economic stalemate has affected every home in the nation. People's nerves are wearing thin.
No, you don't have to tell me all of that.
Beg your pardon.
More coffee, gentlemen?
Please.
Make mine black, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
John, what luck did you have?
Hendricks came down with me on the train from New York last night.
In response to my invitation?
Yes, with a new plan for ending the strike. It was prepared by Hendricks and the leading operators.
They aren't giving in.
I told Hendricks I was breakfasting with you, so he gave me this piece of paper for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's short enough.
Oh, yes, it's short enough.
Now, let's see. As representative of the mine operators, he asked me to appoint a 7-man commission to arbitrate the strike. But there's no representative of labor provided for.
No, sir.
Well, we will never get the men to go back to work unless their views are heard in all fairness.
No.
Almost a year ago, we started trying to get these people to agree and to get them together. We failed. And always for the same reason. This plan isn't really new. It leaves us exactly where we were at the beginning.
Maybe, Mr. President, but maybe there's something we can
do.
No,
not at this time, at any rate.
Well, then I'll be going. I'm sorry my news wasn't better.
Well, you did your best, John. Thank you.
Good day, Ralph.
Good day, Senator. Mr. President, before you go downstairs...
What is it, Ralph?
Miss Sarah, sir.
Well, what about her? Oh, I'd forgotten. She's angry, eh?
You know how she gets, sir.
Well, I'd rather face an angry mob outside the White House than Miss Sarah when she's... Well, you know.
You should have thought of that last night, sir, before you lost the guards in the swamp.
Well, Miss Sarah, or no Miss Sarah, I've got the coal strike to settle. Good morning, Miss Sarah.
Good morning, Mr. President. Excuse me.
What?
Your tie was crooked.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I want you to take
Did you sleep well, Mr. President?
Oh, yes. Fine. I want you to...
Don't look as if you had.
Well, I'm never boisterous in the morning.
I can tell when you've had enough sleep and when you haven't. And why?
That's it, exactly. I want you to get Mr. Hendricks...
When you don't sleep well or enough, there's usually a reason.
Of course. The coal strike.
Conscience.
What?
The uneasy conscience of a small boy with evil in his heart.
Oh, what towering nonsense.
Small boys of your type think it amusing to play pranks that worry all of us half to death.
Now, Miss Sarah...
If I begged you once, I've begged you 100 times. Don't go around without your bodyguard.
Well, it's irritating to be followed.
That's not important.
Oh, isn't it?
It's not you they're guarding. It's the President of the United States.
Well, he can be irritated, too.
And last night, losing those 2 men in the swamp, if ever I heard a childish trick...
You know, I was testing out some military strategy. Hannibal did it to the Romans. He went a little way into a swamp...
Mr. President... Please.
Forgive me this time, Miss Sarah.
It isn't a joke. For that bomb in the mail, the crazy letters threatening your life.
Miss Sarah, I want you to call up Alvin Hendricks at his hotel. Have him come over as soon as he can. Also call up the senator. I'm ready for the next step in the cold strike.
You've decided what to do?
Miss Sarah, I'm sorry I distressed you over the guards.
I'm sorry I spoke so harshly, Mr. President.
Shake hands.
Yes. You wanted me to call the senator?
Yes, and have him come back at the same time Hendricks does. Miss Sarah, I thought I was licked. Now I think we're going to get somewhere.
Mr. President, Mr. Hendricks.
Now, Mr. Hendricks, good morning.
Mr. President.
I hope we make more progress today than we did the last time.
I hope so, too, Mr. President.
Good. Now, your plan asks me to set up a commission. It's to include an army or navy engineer, a mining engineer, a coal merchant, a federal judge, a churchman, a government representative, and a sociologist. With all these, I agree.
You're doing the country a service, sir.
But you've got to go further.
Further? How?
The miners have to be represented, too.
You mean add a representative of the miners to the commission?
This plan won't work unless you do.
Why not? The entire anthracite industry is behind it.
Mr. Hendricks. We've tried time and time again to settle this strike without sitting down with both sides represented. I'm convinced that unless a representative of labor has a chance to meet with you, this plan is doomed to failure, too.
Mr. President, our side, the coal operators...
Mr. Hendricks, the president cannot take sides.
We agree to accept the commission's decisions. Why can't the miners?
Mr. Hendricks, this strike has lasted for months and months. I want the operators of the miners to get together. The price of coal is skyrocketing. Industry is at a standstill. People all over the country are suffering. Winter is coming. And you know what that means. Cold, hunger, illness. Schools will have to close. Hospitals will be affected. These are intolerable conditions. Human factors. And they outweigh any other consideration.
We're upset about these things too, Mr. President.
Then compromise.
Well...
You've got to.
We... respectfully suggest that you appoint any individuals you like, as long as they stay within the seven categories named in the plan. But to add a new one now...
In plain language, Mr. Hendricks, you flatly refuse.
Yes. We've already come so far, Mr. President. Can't you understand our position?
I can't accept a plan I know will fail.
And apparently this discussion is getting us nowhere.
I agree with you, Mr. Hendricks.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Goodbye, Mr. Hendricks.
Miss Sarah.
Mr. President.
Miss Sarah.
Coming.
Mr. President, the country will fall into chaos.
Wait and see. Ready, Miss Sarah?
Yes, sir.
A letter to Mr. Hendricks. Dear Mr. Hendricks, I have carefully considered our talk this morning, and I have decided to accept your plan as it stands.
As it stands.
Mr. President, you dismissed Hendricks not 30 seconds ago. You could have accepted the plan then without arguing about it.
Oh, no. I got him to say what I wanted him to say.
What?
That as long as I stayed within the seven categories, they'd accept any individuals I name.
I don't understand.
Well, listen to the rest of the letter. These will be my appointments. Military engineer, Brigadier General John M. Wilson. Mining engineer, E.W. Parker. Judge, George Gray. Coal merchant, Thomas H. Walker. Bishop John Spaulding, United States Commissioner, Carol P. Wright, and as the sociologist...
What?
Sociologist. S-O-C-I-O...
Oh, I know how to spell it. I just didn't understand you.
As to the sociologist, you will meet him at the time of our conference, sincerely yours.
Mr. President, who is this sociologist and why are you keeping him such a secret?
The sociologist will be E.E. Clark, Grand Chief of the Order of Railroad Conductors.
E.E. Clark? But, Mr. President, he's the very kind of man Hendricks and his crowd have refused to accept.
You heard Hendricks say they would accept any sociologist I name. You know what a sociologist is, John.
Well, I...
A sociologist is an authority on social problems and conditions.
Thank you, Miss Sarah.
And, John, wouldn't you say that the head of the conductors' union is an authority on social problems and conditions?
Well, I suppose the miners will accept Clark.
Why, certainly. They know him and respect him.
But will Hendricks and the operators?
When they sit down with him, it'll be too late to back out.
Yes, but if they do back out, if the whole plan fails...
I'm president of all the people, not only some of them. I'll call out the army and operate the mines myself.
Excuse me, Senator. Your next visitor, Mr. President.
Good luck, Mr. President. I'll be anxious to know the result. Good day, Miss Sarah.
Goodbye,
Senator.
Good day,
Senator.
Well, Miss Sarah, what next?
You have a full list ahead of you, Mr. President. A congressional delegation from Iowa on behalf of federal road building. After luncheon, a committee of the Women's League for Better Citizenship to present you with a plaque. Last of them, Mr. President.
Well, that's the last time I make appointments after dinner.
Well, I'm sorry. You have one more.
Oh, Lord, no.
He's due in a moment or so on an appointment made by one of our congressmen. I'd better ask him to come back to me.
No, it's all right. What's his name? What does he want?
Well, his name is Carlson. He's a farmer, I believe.
Well, there's no need for you to stay, Miss Sarah.
Oh, it's only 9 o'clock. Besides, I have a little more work to do.
Well, you've done enough for today, Miss Sarah.
I'll be in my office, Mr. President. I'll close the door. You won't even know I'm there.
Well, you won't disturb me.
Curry is the guard in the corridor tonight, so if you take a walk later...
I know. Curry? Curry?
Oh, yes, Mr. President?
Is that you pacing up and down?
Yes, sir. Orders, Mr. President.
I see. Very well, Curry.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Curry.
Yes, Mr. President.
Captain Drew was telling me your wife's quite ill, isn't she?
Oh, yes, sir, she is.
It must worry you a good deal, huh?
Oh, she's a rare woman, sir.
Well, why don't you run on home and see how she's feeling, Curry?
Well, I'm not off duty till morning, sir, and Captain Drew told me that...
Oh, no one will be the wiser, Curry. Take your time. Come back later, and if Captain Drew asks any questions, I'll take the responsibility. Now, go ahead, Curry.
Well, all right, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I won't be long. I'll go the back way.
Yeah, that's better. Oh, come in. Curry, I thought that you were... Oh. Well, who are you?
Excuse me, Mr. President. I have an appointment. Usher told me to come in.
Oh, yes. Well, come in. It's Mr...
Carlson, sir. Emory Carlson.
Oh, yes.
I had a hard time getting this appointment, Mr. President. You haven't got much time for people like me.
Well, certainly you understand that
I
the
only president... understand one thing. You're against us. I don't have to understand anything else.
Us?
Look at my hands, Mr. President.
Well?
I got that way from plowing, from hoeing hard ground, from years of work wiped out by the banks.
Well, sit down, won't you? Let's talk this thing over.
Talk? I'm not here for that, Mr. President. Only one thing I'll say. It's got to be done.
What?
Move away from that desk.
Why?
Move away from that desk.
Very well. Tell me, what's got to be done?
You're our enemy. You're bad for the country. You've closed down the mines. You're letting the banks take our farms. It's bad to have an enemy. It's worse to have a friend turn into an enemy.
I don't understand
you. Yes, I do, Mr. President. Farmers believed in you once just like the miners did, and look at us now. In debt, farms taken over by the banks, squeezing us to death. Miners starving, too. You want it that way, but it can't go on.
I don't want it that way.
What turned you against us, Mr. President? What did we do to you? Why are you fighting us?
I'm not.
We'd have had our farms now if you didn't prevent it.
I prevent it? How?
You're siding with them, with the banks.
Oh, you're wrong.
Look at this, Mr. President.
A gun is dangerous only according to the man holding it.
This gun is dangerous.
You'll be caught. There's a guard right outside that. There are guards all over the ground.
There's no guard outside. I came in that way.
than the noise of the shot.
Mr. President, I'm going to kill you.
Why?
You're my enemy. Our enemy.
No.
For 20 years, I worked to keep my own farm. Now it's been taken from me because I couldn't pay my taxes and the mortgage. No one will give me credit. What chance have the farmers got as long as this strike goes on? What chance has anybody got?
What can I say to you? What can I possibly say?
It's late for that question.
The coal strike will be ended.
In favor of the miners and of us. What about us?
The whole country will go back to work.
Fine words. We've heard them all.
Let me prove what I say is true. Let me go into the next room.
No, no, you don't.
To get a letter to show you?
You'll signal a guard.
Mr. Carlson, behind you is an open door to a small room where my daily records are kept. It is. In one of them are copies of a letter I wrote today. That's what I want you to see.
Don't press any buttons.
There aren't any in there. Is that all right?
All right. Walk past me. Just to the door.
Yeah?
I'm behind you. Walk ahead to that desk.
Well, it's about 1, 2, 3, 4 paces.
All right. Now, get that letter.
You know, if I die, the vice president moves in here. That's the law.
I remember that from school.
He'd have to do about the same as I do. He couldn't help the farmers or force the miners and operators to settle.
They could make a law.
The president can't compel anyone to do anything. Only the people can make a law. Oh, here we are.
Come back in this room. Careful.
I'm being very careful.
Put it down on the desk. Now step back. Brother, Mr. President.
Read the letter. I won't jump at you.
I'm reading it.
I promise you I won't move.
What's this mean?
We're forming a commission to end the strike.
A commission?
Yes, the operators have steadily refused to meet with a representative of labor. But they have agreed to meet with a sociologist.
Well?
If you'll read that letter, you'll notice that the name of the sociologist is left blank.
Yes, I see.
Well, just for your information, Mr. Carlson, and confidentially, our sociologist will be E.E. Clark, Grand Chief of the Order of Railroad Conductors.
A union?
Yes. The operators have agreed to meet. If that doesn't work, I'm calling out the army to work the mines. When coal is coming out of the ground again and people are working again, won't they be able to buy more food? Your corn and wheat and everything else the farmer grows? Does that look as if I'm letting you down?
Crazy. I get crazy. A man gets tied into a nutty. He has to do something.
Mr. Carlson, you realize that I have to turn you over to the guards?
Yes, I know.
Threatening the life of the president is... Mr. Carlson, I think you'd better give me that gun.
Yes. I know I was wrong. I guess it's too late to be sorry. Go ahead. Call the guard.
You know, Carlson, I believe you're sincere. You were wrong, but... See here, Carlson. Go out that door and down the hall. At the end of the corridor, you'll find a guard. Ask him to take you to Captain Drew. Turn yourself over to the captain. And then I'll... Well, it may go easier on you that way.
I'm still glad I came here, Mr. President. Because I found out we were wrong about you. God bless you, sir. And help you.
Good luck, Carlson. Why, Miss Sarah, I thought you'd gone.
I've been working. Where's Curry?
Curry? Oh, he,
Didn't I hear you and Captain Drew talking in the corridor?
Yes, he was asking me a lot of questions.
Oh,
you must be very tired, Miss Sarah.
Questions about what?
Miss Sarah, I'm worried about you. You must be very tired.
You're awfully anxious to get rid of me.
Oh, no, not really. Sit down. Shall I send for some tea?
I could swear you've been upset by something. Don't you want to tell me? Don't you think you ought to?
Miss Sarah, I don't know what you...
The door. Yes, come in.
Oh,
Mr. President. Oh, yes. Curry. Well, Curry, thanks for looking in. Everything is fine. Thank you, Curry. And good night, Curry. Now, Miss Sarah, I want
you... Pardon me, Mr. President. I just wanted to give you this, sir.
Oh, thank you, Curry. Thank you very much. Well, good night, Curry.
Open it, Mr. President.
Open it?
Curry obviously hopes you will.
thank you, Miss Sarah.
Cookies.
My wife wanted you to have them, sir. She was that grateful.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Curry. And don't mention it. By all means, don't mention it.
I told her how you'd let me off, sir.
No, don't mention it, Curry. Don't mention
well,
it.
Well, anyway, thank you, sir. And good night, sir.
Good night. Miss Sarah, do you have a cookie?
Why wouldn't you tell me about Carson of your own accord?
Miss Sarah, you were eavesdropping.
You were afraid I'd be angry about Curry.
Oh, I wish you'd take a cookie.
A small boy, a little boy, so pleased with his games, outwitting his elders that he doesn't care what he does with his own life.
Well,
I
what?
I listened at that door, frozen stiff. Any sound would have set that gun off, and I... Mr. President, I've got to make you see it. One shot from that gun tonight, and everything you're doing would be smashed. So much depends on your life. And it isn't your life. It's the miners and their families, the farmers and the senator and Captain Drew and... You don't belong to yourself. You belong to all of us. You've got to be careful.
Well, I'm sorry. I promise you I will be from now on. Why, Miss Sarah, you're crying.
Now I know what it means when they say enough to make the angels weep.
And you are an angel, Miss Sarah. You're right, and this will never happen again. Forgive me, please.
Forgive you. You. I just can't stand another minute of it, and I'm going home. And if that Curry ever moves from here for the rest of his life, I'll have him skinned alive.
Good night, Miss Sarah. Well, the miners and the operators did accept my appointment with Mr. Clark as the sociologist. Alvin Hendricks was certainly surprised when he recognized Clark as head of the conductors' union, but he stuck to his word. The commission was set up and the strike was settled. That was the first time a thing like that was ever done, and so we did make a little progress. After that, too, I was careful not to be careless anymore about the guards. I learned my lesson. Besides, I hated to see Miss Sarah get so upset. But it was fun leading McGrath and Cooper around that swamp the way Hannibal did the Romans. Have you figured out yet who all I was when all that happened? It really did happen, you know. Yes, it's a true story. And it happened in 1902. And it was Teddy Roosevelt who had my job then. Yes, when Theodore Roosevelt was Mr. President. Drop in again next week, won't you? I've got another story I think you'll enjoy. Good night.
Edward Arnold will soon be seen with Clark Gable, Deborah Carr, Sidney Greenstreet, and Adolph Monju in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's production of The Hucksters. Mr. President, starring Edward Arnold, is presented each week by the American Broadcasting Company. It is produced by Robert G. Jennings, directed by Dwight Houser. Tonight's script by Paul Milton was based on two incidents in the life of Theodore Roosevelt. Music was composed and conducted by Basil Adlam. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.